This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth, Lake Worth area off of Quebec Street. If you want to come and see us. Now, that's a great question from the 940. How crowded is the Buffalo Wild Wings? Like, are there tables available right now?
They are.
I want to bring
up
my toddlers, but they're hangry. But there are tables. There are still tables here. Plus, our tolos are very accommodating.
We're
90% full.
Yes, they're getting close, but I think there is at least four more tables right now. So go ahead and come on out.
Yeah,
I love
that. Somebody said, I just finished a scan on my gallbladder. Is there any room? This is the closest I've ever been. Y'all been to my house.
Okay, and so earlier there was somebody here who, after they were here, they were going to go get surgery.
What?
And then remember last
after beers?
Week. No. I don't think they were drinking.
Oh, okay.
And then last week, somebody was here before their wedding, like a few hours after that. So this has become like a bizarre pre and post game for surgeries and weddings. I don't really know.
I like it.
About all of that. But here we go. It is time for our Dallas Mavericks and Dallas Stars super segment. Now, I know how sad Mike is, so I'm going to go with cut number 7 to start this off because the Stars, they put 7 on the board again.
Left wing side to Dunham. He scores! They do!
Now, once you got past the first period, the Stars actually put the boots to the Bruins. And it wasn't just in terms of, like, I know you can, hockey is one of those sports along sometimes with soccer where you're like, I don't necessarily know if the final score indicated what I thought was the pace and the flow of play. I thought maybe not 7-2, but like 5-2. I thought this game was emphatically in the Stars' control in terms of ice time, in terms of puck control, in terms of shots on goal. I thought that the Stars controlled pretty much all of this. Jake Oettinger did Jake Oettinger things. Wasn't as busy as maybe he usually was, but that's another game where the Stars have scored 7 goals, which is just incredible.
Okay, so the last team that they scored 7 goals against was the Penguins.
Yes.
Penguins are currently dead last in the Eastern Conference.
That's fair.
Currently, the Bruins, they're third in the Atlantic Division.
Yeah, they're not great.
They're not great either, and they're, I know that Stars just added to it, but it's a minus 16-point differential for them at the moment. So that is taking care of bad teams.
Sure.
The Wild is definitely – that's a significant game to, like, okay, are we back? Did the Finland trip just kind of throw us off for a little bit and we're actually really back? But I do love that they blasted these two teams in the last two games because that gives you that confidence. And it puts it together those things that – when you're on the ice, when you're on any playing field and you're doing things like that that you can't necessarily replicate in practice, it carries over in games. So I think this is really important, even though two not-so-great teams.
That's true, and you have to naturally hope the Wild to a certain extent, and definitely Winnipeg, who finally lost another game, is going to
come
Yeah, exactly. It's going to cool down. But I wanted to throw this out there just to show like how the Stars start is still really solid.
Yes.
So over under to start the season, this is before last night's game, was 103.5 points. So that's a lot of points. That would be less than last year, but that's a lot of points. It's since bumped up after the first month of the regular season or so to 105.5. So I know the Finland trip was disappointing, but even with that, they've essentially tacked on an extra win for the Stars. So another emphatic win, beating up on bad teams, which
do it, absolutely do it, enjoy it, take pleasure in it when you do it too. And take pleasure in getting a road win.
Yes,
you don't discount those by any means.
And unfortunately, not everyone in our Metroplex can beat up on bad teams on the road, because Mike, I'm sorry. I want to try to avoid it. I know you're sad, but go ahead and give me cut number 8 if you can, please.
Lucas guarding John Collins. Clarkson with 5 on the clock. Now starts the play. Bullets at the Collins. Who's unguarded? It ducks. Luka forgot his man.
Look at Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson with a one-hand bullet to John Collins, who grabbed it and dunked.
This might not be fair, Mike, but I'm going to ask you if you saw this or if you even care at this point. They right when they went to timeout after that, you see Luka even, and maybe he's right, I don't know what the play call was, pointing fingers out there. And like it felt like he was trying to say, no, I thought that was his man, or why are you looking at me? And I, even in that moment, I was kind of like, I don't know, man. That looked like that was your guy. I know Lively was on the backside looking at the play, but
what did I say? It might have been yesterday or the day before that Luka always has one eye on the ref so he cannot watch the ball and his man when he's off the ball. Now, he wasn't watching the ref in that situation, but he is pathetic. The basic thing you try to talk to a kid at 8, 9, 10, 11 years old is they're getting into basketball and they're learning defense. One of the things you try to teach that child early on, which it does take time, they're children, is when you're not guarding the ball, you have to know where the ball is at all times and the person you're guarding. And that's why it's difficult, and that's why so many coaches are like, hey, I'm just going to play zone, because then I don't have to watch a man. I'm just guarding an area. Zone doesn't really work in the NBA. But Luka is just that lackadaisical and does not care about all the things that you'd have to do to be a basically decent defensive player, because he knows where all the defensive players are when he has the ball in
his
hands.
Yeah.
He literally knows where all 5 guys are. He knows where his 4 guys are supposed to be. He sees the whole court.
Yeah.
He can't see Jack S when he's on defense and he's not guarding the ball. Guarding the ball, I don't want to say is easy in the NBA, but I'd, in a way, rather have Luka guarding the ball. At least he doesn't have to know where anybody else is, because he does not watch. He just ball watches, and he doesn't know what is happening off the ball because he forgets where his man is, and they took advantage of a very bad, lackadaisical. For the rest of his life, he's going to be that. I quit on Luka getting better at this game. He's awesome at
man.
It. He's not getting any better. He will never, ever be considered one of the greatest basketball players in history. You can take him out of the top 20 basketball players in the history of the NBA, because he's never going to win.
Just because of this season?
Yes. Okay. He's not improving.
In the history of his
He got embarrassed. The Boston Celtics NBA Finals was a complete and total embarrassment to him, and everybody in the sport called him out for his whining, being, moaning, fouling out, not being a good teammate. Is it fair? It's not ultimately fair, because he got a team to the NBA Finals. He's got a team to a conference finals. But my God, dude, you are getting closer to 30 years old. Grow up. You could be the best player of this era, and he doesn't care. He shows up like fat Shaq almost every year and out of shape. And he's like, well, I guess Shaq did it, so I can do it too. Well, then win like Shaq, and then you can get fat and out of shape every year.
Woo, Mike Bacsik bringing some fire right here. And sounds like the people don't dislike it.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on.
The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I can't remember if it was, I think it was the other Clarkson play that ended up looking like an alley-oop. I went back and watched that play several times. I do not believe that was an alley-oop. I think that was a shot, because if you go back and watch it, the ball movement changes because it looks like Derek Lively got his fingertips on the ball, which actually turned what was going to be a brick off the back of the rim into what turned out to be like an alley-oop, and obviously that was a backbreaker as well. But I watched that play again and again, and it was this close to being like a really good defensive play, and instead it like oddly helped out Utah.
I heard Sean say something this morning, Kevin, and Mike, I wanted your thoughts on it, because Sean was like, and then Quentin Grimes with the start in Kyrie's place last night, why has he been stashed away on the bench for so long and Jason Kidd hadn't played him? And I know you've kind of been on this for a minute. He wasn't quite fitting in yet, right? But last night he seemed to have a pretty good game. And when you get to start, right, you probably look a little bit better being around those guys. Your thoughts on Quentin Grimes and his role with this? Is it growing?
Shout out Najee, too, yesterday.
Yeah, both of those guys, it was nice to see them fitting in better. And I get that what Klay Thompson said is it's going to take time, because as much as what has come back, you have Luka, Kyrie, PJ Washington, your two centers, you have a few other guys that, you know, get to play here and there that were on your team last year that won the Western Conference. There are guys that you're trying to fit in and work in. Spencer Dinwiddie has never played with Luka and Kyrie. He's played with both of them, but not at the same time on the same team. I think Spencer Dinwiddie's career is done. I think he's a towel waver at this point, which is fine. But I think that the Lakers had it right when they picked him up last year. They had him, and they're like, he can't play. We're forcing it because of what he did 2 years ago when you made it to the Western Conference Finals.
Do you think the lack of Exum, too, is forcing that?
Yes, and I'm hoping, Exum, I don't know. You know, he's a 15-minute role guy, and maybe you need to, in a way, have lack of depth on this team. I've just been thinking about this last night, trying to go, is it Hardy? Is it Dinwiddie?
Yeah.
Is it Grimes?
Yeah.
Is it Najee Marshall? Is it Exum when he comes back? Is it some random dude that we played the other night? It wasn't this game, but I'm like, who the hell is this guy playing right now? Maybe you just need 9 guys, and the other 5 guys are towel waivers, and you know that they are. They shouldn't be on the court, and maybe you need to trade 3 to get 1 so you don't have this discussion on, hey, should it be Dinwiddie? Should it be Hardy? Should it be Quentin Grimes? It's like, maybe you need to trade 3 guys for 1, and they're like, we know who our 9 guys are. The other 5, cheer.
Yeah, that was in my mind the other night. What he was talking about is what I was trying to do with getting Brandon Ingram again. I was like, can I do it? But the money just never stacks up because he makes too much. Kevin,
I mean, that would be a great player to have. But,
I've been trying to get him for, 6 years now?
Yeah.
It's not going to ever work out for me.
So this is 4 straight losses for the Mavs, and I know, because you can take either perspective on this, right? The one perspective is it's 4 straight losses by a total of 8 points, which is, on the one hand, obviously, that's really, really, really close. But I guess I'll throw this out there as well. Colin Sexton makes the first basket in the fourth quarter. That puts it to 16. So you're losing by 16 with 11 minutes to go left in the game. And the Mavericks come all the way back. And that's great, but it usually feels like that's a game you're going to win. And I'm going to go back to what Jason Kidd said in the game before this. He goes, the last 2 minutes, we have to get better. This is at the Warriors game. The last three games, last 2 minutes, we turn the ball over, haven't been rebounding the ball, can't maintain offensive rebounds. Well, look at offensive rebounds. The Jazz had a season high in offensive rebounds yesterday, and they had another one in the last, I think it was a minute and a half, that you're like, damn it. Like, you can't not get that rebound. And that directly led to more Jazz points. And whether it's, you know, Collins putting it in when Clarkson's driving up, or it's giving up that offensive rebound for points, that's clearly the difference in the game. Like, those last two minutes is clearly the difference.
I just wonder this. Some of the things that I say against Luka aren't fair, but I just go to the history of the NBA, and if you name the top 10 players in the history of the NBA, give or take, they're not goofballs. Shaq is the closest goofball in the top 10 players in the NBA. When you think about the way that Michael Jordan led, Larry Bird led, Magic Johnson led, Tim Duncan led, whoever it is, Kobe, whoever you think, obviously I don't know Wilt too well, Bill Russell, I mean, we get an idea, but the people of my life, they're not goofballs. And they set a tone. What you're just talking about is a tone that is not being set.
Yeah.
Well, your
what's
best
acceptable
player,
and what's not.
He's first team All-NBA. Luka's going to make 10 All-Star games. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But is he a leader? Is he a good leader? And I'm not saying the reason that Larry Bird's able to call his players and his teammates a bunch of S's. I don't know if I can say the whole word anymore.
Yeah, might not. I mean, I heard somebody say it. I don't know if you're allowed to say
it. But, like, literally he called out his team, and they responded, and they were, I know it was a different game back then, clotheslining Kurt Rambis and all kinds of crap, right? But you think about Michael Jordan, and, like, Michael Jordan was an A, and he was all this, and he was a horrible teammate and all this. They're like, we feared so much of him that we knew we had to play our best. It was tough playing for him. Maybe he didn't even like playing for him, but we knew in the end we were going to be champions. And Luka has, to me, I'm going to be honest, Luka is great. He has none of those qualities. And I'm surprised he doesn't. I'm surprised at how good he was at 18 and 19 and how great he has been throughout his career. He has not learned really how to be a leader of the team. And I think it all falls on Kyrie, which is fine. I think Kyrie has grown into being a pretty darn good leader. But it really stinks when your best player kind of doesn't have leadership qualities. Just like you said, when he starts looking around the court going, where were you? Where were you?
I was like, where were you, dude?
You're the person.
Yeah.
Once you take the biggest responsibility, and I know it's a different sport, but I hear from Mark McLemore and Roberto Alomar and these guys that played with Cal Ripken Jr., he would scream and yell at his teammates. He would actually call pitches from shortstop, so the catcher would take that off his plate because he felt like he was better at doing it with certain catchers that he had on his team. But he took the most responsibility for the losses. He took the most responsibility for the energy and attitude of the team. When your guy doesn't do that, it's tough to respect that guy completely. I think everybody on the Mavericks thinks Luka is unbelievable. Luka is awesome. At times, Luka gives me the best looks I've ever seen. Luka does things that I haven't seen on a basketball court before. But is Luka a leader of those guys where they feel like if we don't do what Luka asks or needs, we're in deep trouble?
I'm going to do one more thing to kind of research this probably next week. I told you it's four straight loss, combined 8 points. This is also the fourth straight fourth quarter that the Mavericks have outscored their opponent. So it's not just a matter of 2 minutes. It's a matter of they're falling behind in all of these games going into the fourth quarter. And you're like, hey, we play well for 10 minutes of that fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the game's back on the line and we revert to kind of first three quarters. And
so you know what they're capable of, right?
I guess.
Not for all of
I would be a terrible scout because I'd be like, I saw one time. He can't do that. You know, so like.
And Jerry would be like, you saw it once?
Yeah.
That's good enough for me.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.